It's our Student Revolving Loan Fund, Starcom Network Digital Transformation Month, in partnership with the National Transformation Initiative. We now invite you to hear from the experts on two game changers, artificial intelligence and cybersecurity.
The Student Revolving Loan Fund, Starcom Network Digital Transformation Month, in partnership with the National Transformation Initiative. Today, we have a conversation around artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. Joining me, Mr. Shannon Clark, Software Architect, CarePoint Solutions. Mr. Alan Farmer, Senior Loans and Collections Officer of the Student Revolving Loan Fund, and Dr. Allison Leacock, Director of the National Transformation Initiative. Thank you for joining our conversation today. Shannon, I'm going to start with you. What is artificial intelligence?
Thank you so much for the question, Jamal, and thanks for having me. So artificial intelligence is actually a broad definition nowadays. There's the science behind it, there's the industry behind it, and I think there's actually a more common implementation of it. I'll focus on more of a man on the street explanation for what artificial intelligence is. And essentially, it's the science of teaching computers to analyze, that is to see, read, and understand information in a way very much similar to how a human does, process that information and then respond in ways in which we would expect a human to do. That's why we would have been so marvel at innovations such as ChatGPT, from companies such as OpenAI, and more recently from Google and Facebook, where they have chatbots that respond almost as if you're talking to a human. What that chatbot is essentially doing, it's using artificial intelligence to read the text that we provided, very much like a human. They understand the structure of how we form our own sentences, and then it provides a response back in a way that it would expect a human to do. It's very structured, and the way that it does it, you would not quite know that it's not a human, but that's essentially the science behind artificial intelligence.
So Shannon, if I'm getting you correct, those automated messages when you type in the chat box online, that's artificial intelligence.
That's correct. And to be honest, if we're speaking about it in terms of the broad field, which is where it started, artificial intelligence has actually been around for decades. What we've seen more recently is more often referred to as generative artificial intelligence, where we are able to see, we now have access to tools that typically were restricted only to data scientists, where we can now generate music, we can generate art from just simple lines of text, which we're now more recently referring to as prompts. You're essentially sending simple instructions to the artificial intelligence model. I'm not going to go into the specific terms, the terminology, but essentially you can think of a model as basically the brain behind the artificial intelligence, just like how we all have brains. And that basically allows it to think about what you sent it, and then what kind of response should it give back? We've been using artificial intelligence for decades, but I will say more modern applications in terms of Google Maps, for instance, when we're searching on Amazon and it's telling us what we may want to buy, when we're even on Google Calendar, for instance, or some of our calendar applications, when it's saying, hey, here's the best thing that you may want to leave home now in order to get to a specific destination on time.
Well, artificial intelligence and this term cybersecurity seem to be inextricably linked. What is cybersecurity?
So again, I'm going to focus on the man on the street example, because these are broad industries. There's no one specific area that I can focus on. It'll maybe take me a couple of hours to discuss. But cybersecurity is actually essential once we're talking not only for artificial intelligence, but once we're talking about information technology. And when I give you the definition, you'll understand why. It's really and truly, if I'm looking at the definition, it's a practice of protecting computer systems, networks, programs, and data from digital attacks, unauthorized access, and damage. This is physical and virtual damage. So in today's world, where we're increasingly, and perhaps now forever untold, are online in terms of our personal information, our loved ones from the time that we're born until the time of when we pass, all of our information is essentially stored in a computer and more importantly, also accessible online. How is that information going to be protected? That is absolutely important for us to be able to live productive, but more importantly, fulfilling lives. And cybersecurity is basically the practice of making sure that not only the physical aspect of those computer systems is safe, but also the data and more importantly, the persons that that data may link to are also kept safe.
Alan Farmer, you are a Senior Loans and Collections Officer at the Student Revolving Loan Fund. And some may be questioning, what does artificial intelligence or cybersecurity has to do with the Student Revolving Loan Fund? Alan, can you share with us a little bit more of the work, or some of the work rather, that the Student Revolving Loan Fund is currently conducting in this area?
All right, thanks, Jamal. So basically, we are one of the government agencies tasked to execute some training initiatives with one-year job placement in the areas of cybersecurity and artificial intelligence. We manage the marketing and the loan aspect of those programs, and we do all the communication with the Canadian partners. So basically, these programs are considered bootcamp programs where they do a lot of training in either the area of artificial intelligence or cybersecurity. They start from novice and bringing you to basically entry-level jobs. They try to get persons to understand the whole overarching what cybersecurity is and what jobs in these areas look like as it relates to AI, what AI is and what jobs look like, but also how can you transform and transition what you're currently doing to fit in with the AI, because it's not something that we should be afraid of, but it's something that we should be embracing. So that is one of the mandates that we have. So we launched two programs, cybersecurity training analyst program in conjunction with a company from Canada named Protexa. That's a 5-month training program with a 1-year job placement, and artificial intelligence 4-month training program for entry level, as I said, and I also have a 1-year job placement, and the education partners on these programs are George Brown College and Toronto Metropolitan University.
Is there a demand for jobs or employment in this area after these individuals who are conducting or going through this process rather of education with the Student Revolving Loan? Is there a demand afterwards?
The reason the policy was developed is because there is an international demand for persons to work in the areas of cybersecurity, understanding and working in the advancements of AI. So there is a demand, and one of the things that the partners from Canada push is the importance of the CompTIA certification as it relates to cybersecurity and other micro-credentials. The demand is also in the educational field. So a lot of the persons that would have graduated from the first cohort and stuff like that, the work that they do with the company Protexa and stuff and CyberNation is basically educating persons on their cyber health and stuff like that, educating persons on how they can retrain and retool to adapt AI within the complexity of what they do at work and stuff like that. So there is a demand. What we would say is that with that demand, you have to continue retraining and retooling because as technology advances, so does these areas.
How long has this program been going, and probably how many Barbadians have benefited since its inception?
So the AI program started this year. We have the first cohort. We have approximately 90-something graduates from the AI program. They would have recently graduated. They would have started job placement actually today with the Canadian partners and other Canadian and North American companies. The cybersecurity program would have started in 2022. And between 2022 and now, I think we had approximately, I would say, 500 individuals who would have successfully completed the program. And these persons, some of them would have completed a 1-year job placement this year. Some were extended. Some have seek other educational journeys. And we are currently in the fourth cohort of cybersecurity, which started approximately a week ago, actually.
Dr. Alison Leacock, what role is the National Transformation Initiative playing in the whole effort towards digital transformation?
Well, first of all, I think when we speak of digital transformation as a goal, we need to address the factors that might prevent it so that we can overcome those challenges to reach our goal. The factors that we found glaring at the NTI are one, our mindsets, two, foundational literacy, which is far more prevalent than we are perhaps aware of, and three, digital literacy. So what we do is try to meet people where they are, shift mindsets so they're far more receptive to taking the advantage of all of the opportunities to learn more about it. We've got over 12,000 courses that we now have access to through our partnership with Coursera. And those courses are prepared by leading universities like Stanford and Yale and about 200 others. But specifically, NTI also has an AI Academy with 350 courses about AI. It includes one that's just 45 minutes long called The Fundamentals of Generative AI. And there's AI, generative AI for everyone, which allows you to build some of the foundational skills and acquisition for all employees with a lot of expert training and hands-on practice to advance an organization. Then there is generative AI for executives. And this is intended to empower our senior leaders across organizations to not only identify, but develop and execute very impactful business strategies using Gen AI. And then there's generative AI for teams. And that equips cross-functional teams to understand a little bit more about generative AI. They use cases and best practices that are unique for the functioning of businesses. Overall, there are about 500 courses that can assist people in understanding generative AI as a tool, the fact that it is part of a large language model, the strategies that people can use, how they can prompt AI to respond to questions, and what is really important for us and for Coursera, responsible use of generative AI. And in that regard, to assist learners once they log on to the site, we have Coursera Coach with AI. And that is like a chatbot, but this is a more intuitive chatbot. And the one difference, there are about three differences really in terms of the coach that Coursera has. One of them is that it is rooted in pedagogical best practice. So this is not an arbitrary use of AI. And the second thing is because it is rooted in all of the courses produced by internationally accredited universities and businesses, it means that what responses you get from the coach are all accurate. Because one of the nervous things people have about AI is that, yes, it's pulling from Google and the internet broadly, but it isn't always accurate. The Coursera Coach is, because the answers are rooted in the courses that are online. So these are areas that can help to complement all of the excellent work that is being done by the Student Revolving Loan Fund and MIST and many others in the country. So that is NTI's contribution in trying to move the needle that all of us in Barbados are indeed ready for digital transformation.
Can you share with me some of the gaps you've identified, probably from a policy perspective, in either artificial intelligence or cybersecurity?
Well, I'll just add here that Barbados really needs to join with the efforts that are being done by UNESCO in creating a Caribbean AI policy roadmap for 2024. And their roadmap is helpful because it celebrates and places priority on culture, that we are preserving the unique identity of each of our nations, which is really important because AI can be programmed. AI responds to what it is given. And therefore, the Caribbean, by increasing its use, will assist AI in having a tone of voice, if you will, that reflects more of who we are as Caribbean people. And then Of course, there's the assistance in ensuring that there's safety and security in our governance and transformation programs with AI, that we are using it for upskilling and education in a responsible way. So we're fostering more inclusion of learners and the capacity for development. And I'd say the final point from the UNESCO policy roadmap on AI is about resilience and sustainability. So we really are adapting to the AI revolution. Of course, we have self-regulation categories. There are things that we can all do independently. There are codes of conduct, there are ethical guidelines and principles that can be developed. There's self-assessment and reporting, public engagement and stakeholder consultation. We need to do more of that, I think. And there's industry partners and collaborations that will assist us in meeting industry needs. And of course, there's always innovation in governance models and AI ethics advisory councils, which we can develop. There are some global AI regulations. Of course, we need to adapt them for our environment. But at this juncture, the EU AI Act is the best. There is, of course, the executive order on AI in the US. There's the Canada Bill, C27, and the Code of Conduct. In the UK, there's the Bletchley Declaration. And in China, there are multiple laws. But I think that as of now, the EU AI Act is the most comprehensive from which Barbados could strengthen any of its plans for AI regulation.
I want to switch to you, Alan, for a second to really understand what government or agencies like the Student Revolving Loan Fund is doing beyond just education initiatives to really get the progress moving or to get the country moving forward with artificial intelligence. How do you see the Student Revolving Loan Fund being more involved?
So we did have that conversation recently internally, and one of the things that we said and we find that we have to focus on is that we have to focus on outside of the training programs, we have to focus on educating Barbadians in general and educating Barbadians that it is artificial intelligence is nothing to fear. It's something to embrace. What it is, what it means to them, what it looks like to them, and to explain to the average person that they use it every day. One of the things that through interacting with persons and trying to market and stuff the program, one of the feedback that we're getting is that persons are afraid of it. Persons don't understand what it is. Persons don't see how they can benefit from it, how it can mean a career for them and stuff like that. They just see it as taking away their jobs and stuff like that. So one of the things that we decided to focus on, and one of the reasons that we even focus on this month and sponsoring this program, is the overall arching of educating Barbadians that everything's good. It is an area that is now developing. It's an area that with untapped potential and that, yeah, basically.
Well, you said that some people are concerned, and maybe rightfully so, that their jobs are on the line with artificial intelligence. But how do you see AI being able to help national development? What role do you see AI playing in the grand scheme of things?
All right. So basically, overall, in the whole national development, I can see AI transforming jobs, allowing us to be more effective and efficient, reducing the amount of steps that we have in certain processes and stuff like that. It can also allow allows in the overall economic development of a country once used correctly. And once we retrain and retool persons to accept the technology and allow to integrate it into the workplace, the possibilities are endless. That's what I see.
Shannon, what are your thoughts on the role that AI can play in national development?
I think what it's going to do is along the lines of what Mr. Farmer said, but what I'll say is that we're going to see it at different levels. So I will first suggest that more and more businesses, whether small, medium, or large, should start to see how can they utilize AI almost as a 24/7 employee that assists them with, whether it's in terms of analyzing data, or even processing data and outputting reports. So let's say that they have to work on a new project, how can they utilize the AI to get a quick start on that project? But once you're doing that, then you'll start to recognize, okay, here's how I can start including AI within my own workflow, not necessarily as something that replaces my job or replaces a potential partner, but also augments and assists our own efficiencies. Once we do that, then we'll start to see opportunities to then be able to scale beyond operating only within our own local markets or even within the regional market. I think that's where then we're going to see a lot of national development in terms of our own businesses looking beyond our geographic boundaries.
Dr. Alison Leacock, your thoughts here.
The founder of Coursera, Andrew Ng, is a professor at Stanford. And he, to my mind, has said it best. He says AI is the new electricity because there are so many ways in which we can use AI to save time, to increase efficiency and our productivity. The data is showing that countries can add $15 trillion to the global economy by 2030 by utilizing the benefits of global generative AI adopted. That would translate to a 14% increase in GDP. We can look at gains by region globally. In North America, the productivity gains have been 14.5%. In Latin America, closer to home here in the Caribbean, increases in productivity gains 5.4%. In Northern Europe, 9.9%. In Southern Europe, 11.5%. In developed Asia, 10.4%. In China, 26.1%. And in Africa, Oceania, and other Asian countries, 5.6%. So these are realities. These are measurable outcomes from the incorporation of generative AI. But as individuals, we can also unlock new opportunities. In looking at 1 year ago, there was a 20% increase in job postings requiring generative AI skills. Fast forward to 2024, and the Work Trend Index annual report from Microsoft and LinkedIn shows that 71% of our leaders have said they'd rather hire a less experienced candidate with AI skills than a more experienced candidate without. If we needed any trigger to encourage us to learn more about AI and use it as an effective tool responsibly, that, to my mind, is a game changer. In the US, Amazon said in December that they would be willing to pay workers with AI skills a wage premium of 35 to 43% across several job functions. So digital transformation is no longer an option for us in Barbados. It is an imperative. And we need to help people embrace it. We have courses like developing innovative ideas for new companies, the first step in entrepreneurship. We have digital thread implementation. We have the nuts and bolts of public relations. We have security governance and compliance, introduction to constitutional concepts, and the art of music production. All of these are e-courses that engage and use AI as a tool that we can benefit from going forward as a country, I believe.
I want to take a different spin. Now, when we think of cybersecurity, what are some of the companies or organizations that can use or should be looking at cybersecurity today to really protect their information? What are the steps, Shannon, that they should be taking today?
Not a cybersecurity expert, but speaking in terms of as a technology expert, I would say that the first thing for any company to do, especially those that are in high-risk fields where they're managing sensitive data, whether personal or not, is first to take an audit. Take an audit of the data that they do store, as well as their workflows. Who has access to this information? How is it accessed? Where do they store it? For what reasons do they store it? Should they continue storing it? once they do that, then they have an idea in terms of their own surface, the attack surface area, and potential weaknesses within their own infrastructure and systems right now. And then they can then start creating a plan, working with a professional in order to then figure out, okay, how do we close these gaps? How do we make sure the data is secure? And if, or potentially when, there is a data hack or data leak, how do we more importantly recover and keep our customers safe?
Well, you identify yourself as a software architect. What role does software play in the whole grand scheme of things? And probably at this stage, what can Barbados do to engage software architects or engineers like yourself?
Okay. Well, software essentially, and being a software developer, basically allows us to move from being consumers to being creators. So no longer would we be dependent on the world to give us solutions or give us tools for us to use in order to solve our own problems, but we can create our own problems. As a software architect, I go a bit beyond just developing, as in terms of writing the code for implementing the actual solution, but also engineering and designing that actual solution and architecting it in terms of a workflow for then multiple partners to be able to work, to be able to utilize said system. So this will be important when we're looking in terms of revolutionizing or even redesigning some critical industries such as education, healthcare, et cetera. We definitely have a lot of engineers right now in terms of banking, but I think we also need to look at some of our own social services as well.
How many Barbadians do you believe are employed in this area of work? You know, most often we have conversations about building out the services economy, and we are not able to put tangible numbers to specific areas of practice. There are many individuals who are completing their studies at the University of the West Indies, in particular in the area of computer technology or computer science. But, you know, what can we do from an education perspective to find employment for these individuals to go into the world of work and actually make a meaningful contribution to this whole transformation effort?
So to answer your first question, how many persons do we have within these fields? Not enough. there are a sizable amount of persons, but just like Mr. Farmer was mentioning, this is a global opportunity for us to exploit and utilize even without leaving Barbados itself. What can we do from an education perspective? We in Barbados, we are blessed to have a very good education system, but what we need to do is think beyond just our local market. So gain the international certifications. And more importantly, not only focus in terms of just the academic side of things in terms of passing the examinations, but also networking and building it into getting into the research organizations that are international so that you gain the practical knowledge as well to marry it with the same academic knowledge. I think that's absolutely important. And once we do that, then we're going to then see the opportunity to not necessarily employ these graduates or current professionals in existing businesses, but also launch new businesses. I think that's an important thing. We need to be able to see education not just as forming a productive citizen, but also ensuring that they can then contribute back to the society. And the best way to do that is either working within a government organization or preferably starting a business as well. And we do need to have more facilitation services in that area.
Mr. Farmer, your thoughts here?
So I do agree. There are not enough persons in the area. And what we normally say is that educate locally, work locally, but you can think globally and also work globally. And that is the opportunities that we provide through these programs. The whole networking and stuff like that is something that we advise persons to do, because once you get that ongoing training and stuff like that, and you have made the connections and stuff like that, the opportunities are endless. There'd be persons working right now, I think, based on research, a lot of Indians and stuff like that are persons from India are working in these fields, and they're working for US and North American companies also. So we're educate locally, think globally. Yeah, basically my thoughts.
Well, certainly it's been an interesting discussion, and I know that many Barbadians will be looking forward to hearing more about the whole concept of artificial intelligence as well as cybersecurity. My hope is rather that today we were able to share a little more information, shed a little more light on it for you. Mr. Shannon Clark, Alan Farmer, Dr. Alison Leacock, I've been your host, Jamal Slocum. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to our Student Revolving Loan Fund's Starcom Network Digital Transformation Month in partnership with the National Transformation Initiative. We heard from the experts as we stay informed with two game changers in the digital world, artificial intelligence and cybersecurity.